This week, our president has been going about from country to country and talking with this one and talking with that one. And it occurred to me during the week what a wonderful thing it would be if all of the governments of this world would just look at this world and the condition that it's in and would say, this is not working. What we're doing isn't right. There's too much poverty. There's too many deaths. There's too much violence. Why can't intelligent people see that and sit down and find a way to not do that? I think about Iran and North Korea and Egypt and Iraq and Afghanistan. I think about what's going on in Europe and Cyprus. And I see our country heading in the same direction. And so it behooves the whole world to try to solve this problem. But our president can't do anything because this country is so far wrong and so divided. We think about trillions in debt. We think about 55 million abortions since Roe Wade passed our Congress. We find people that are against capital punishment, but vote in favor of abortions. We have Democrats and Republicans and Libertarians and Tea Parties and Independents. Are we not intelligent enough to sit down and say this is not working? That our country is being torn apart, that our country is going down on a daily basis. And that's one thing that most intelligent of people agree on, that things just don't look too bright for us right now. And yet, we can't seem to come to any kind of conclusion. Are we not intelligent enough to recognize the problem and the depth of it and sit down and give and take and work that out? I see in families similar situations. Divorces are so common, far too common. We read about abuse. We read about neglect. We read about alcohol. We read about people who are not interested at all in religion. Every time I see statistics, there are fewer of the citizens of this country genuinely interested in any kind of religion than there was the last time somebody counted. Are not families, husbands and wives, and teenagers capable of sitting down and talking about the problems in that family and say, this is not working, and correct it? And it comes right on down to the individual, that individuals in their lives find themselves in situations that are very uncomfortable. All kinds of problems and situations that many times they have some control over. And we were talking in our little class this morning about the prodigal son. He finally became intelligent enough to talk to himself and say, this is not working. In my father's house, there are servants who have more than enough to eat, and here I am starving to death. And the scripture says that he came to himself. Maybe it's easier for an individual, though very few individuals do it, to sit down and look at his life and look at where he's heading and look at where he's been and see the consequences of what he's done, to make some changes. Every time you add another person, it becomes more complicated. And that's why countries and our country and families just have such a problem of recognizing the problems they have and then intelligently doing something about it. And then I think about the church. And I think about the troubles that have been in the church over the ages. At the very beginning, there were Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and all kinds of little splinter groups. And I look about Limestone County and Madison County, and I see a little group over here and a little clique over there and a big group over there and a big clique over there. And I've actually gone into congregations just a time or two, and people would look at me, and it made me think, do they want me here? I was an outsider. And it just felt like they were questioning, what are you doing here? And we divide over this, and we divide over that, and we can't fellowship this one, but we can fellowship that one. And are we not intelligent enough to sit down and take the Bible and agree? And it's with the Bible that the world and our nation and our families and our individuals and the church needs to focus on. So we studied about the Bible a couple of weeks ago and how important it is to us, and we need to realize that and get back to it. Someone said, maybe many hundred years ago, I don't know, when you tried everything else, read the directions. And I've modified that a little bit, and I've heard others say it before me. It's not original with me, but when you tried everything else, why not try doing what's right? Why not try doing what God wants you to do and what Jesus died so that you could do and have eternal salvation? Can't we do that? Are we not capable, as the Lord's church, or a congregation of the Lord's church, or a family or a nation or whatever? Is it impossible for us to do that? Well, no, it's not impossible, but it's highly improbable. Because there are too many people involved in too many things, and even in religion, false teachers, as our Lord told us to be careful about, making merchandise of people, doing things for money, getting gain this way or that way. With their ulterior motives, it's hard to get people together. But if everyone could just clear out everything and go back to the Bible, what a different world this would be. Think what it would be like not to need an army. Not to be afraid of the nation next to you. Think what it's like for Israel right now with those missiles lobbing over into their cities, into their country. With mothers sending their kids off to school, knowing that that school could be hit by a rocket. Think what it would be like if there was no concern about that at all. That just wasn't a problem anymore. When our kids go off at night in a car, we worry about them. So many things could happen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a place where you never had to worry about that? When your kids drove off, you knew they'd come back okay, that nobody was going to bother them. They're not going to get run over by any drunks or abused by any sexual molesters. Not have to worry about that at all. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a place that is as the Bible describes what this old world ought to be? If there is any hope at all, it just requires us to focus on the Word of God. And the problem with the world and with America and with some of our families and some of our individuals and even with some in the church is that we're focusing on things other than the purpose of the church, the purpose of the death of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Not focusing upon why God put us here and for what purpose we were given the word. We're focusing on things that are not important and things that are actually detrimental to us. And so this morning, as we look at all of the failures of this world and our country and our families and our individuals and the church, let's try to do the right thing and go back to God. Hopefully we don't have too many problems in this particular congregation, but we could have them. And we've seen over and over again divisions and even people who claim to be Christians contradicting what the Bible teaches, dividing and fussing and squabbling and all of that. And what I've noticed is, as we think about such passages as John chapter 17, when our Lord prayed to his heavenly Father, talking about the apostles, he said, "Neither pray for I these alone," not just the apostles, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." He's saying, I'm not only praying for that 12, but I'm praying for everybody that'll hear their word and be converted by that. And so that comes all the way down to us as we read the words of Peter and Paul and read about the experiences of others that they wrote about and that we find writing in the Bible. And the reason that he's praying for them and for us is, in verse 21, that we might all be as one. I doubt there's anything that bothers God more than division among his people. As I read this particular passage, that they may all be as one. Who's praying here? Jesus is praying. That they may all be as one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us. And that's just as united as you can be. When I think about being one, I think about the marriage relationship. How that two individuals unite themselves together and over a period of time, just kind of blend together. And one kind of knows what the other one likes and dislikes, and what pleases the other and what doesn't please them, and they kind of work together to accomplish a honorable goal, and that's the way God wants it to be, that we become as one. But the church, it's important that the church do the same thing, that the local congregation and the congregations and all of God's children are just like one. And we're not anywhere near that. How one are we to be? Jesus said, "As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee." How much division was there between Jesus and his heavenly Father? Did they argue over doctrine? Did they fuss over this and fuss over that? They were one. There was no controversy in the relationship between Jesus and his Father. And so Jesus had been to this earth, and with his infinite wisdom, being deity, he knew how divisive man could be, and he had seen it in his lifetime here upon this earth. He didn't have to come to this earth to know it, but he had actually observed it on this earth. And he said that he prayed that they might, that we might all be as one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And so we're to be one with Jesus and with God. And you know what the result of that will be? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you know why it is that the statistics that we see, as I mentioned a little while ago, from year to year, there are fewer people who believe in any kind of religion? And that there are fewer people who really believe that you have to obey the Word of God? There are fewer people now who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is in a deity way. There are fewer people now than there's been since they started counting who actually make that statement, actually teach that Jesus is the only way, as he said in John 14 and 6. And why there, to some degree, is such a battle against religion is because religion as a whole is an embarrassment to God. When you drive down Hughes Road and see all of those multi-million dollar buildings, and then you pick up and read about how many people in Somalia are starving to death, you know, some people think about that. Some people who drive past facilities that are very obviously for the form of recreation, and it's not wrong to recreate if you've taken care of all of your responsibilities that God has laid upon your shoulders. But when we have converted less than 0.5% of the people in this country, you know, some people see that, and they begin to think about, well, what is religion? I thought religion was about love and about saving souls, and involved in that is relieving the poor. And what you see instead of unity and godliness is controversy, and you're reading the paper about the problems that the Catholic Church has had. And for a person who's not religious and he reads that, all these priests who are homosexuals, they won't call them that, but that's 99% of the accounts I read, it was male on male. The media won't use that word homosexual. Pedophile is what they like to use, but when the object of the priest's affection is 17, 18 years old, that's not the case. But people see that and they hear that. And they then wonder, well, what about this religion? Is that what religion is? Well, if that's what religion is, I don't want any part of it. And the fussing and the squabbling and hypocrisy that is so often so prevalent. Jesus prayed that we might be as one. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If there were some way that we could get the heads of the government just to look at the Word of God, look what our government's doing. It's getting further and further away from the Word of God. The laws that are passed, there was a list in this morning's paper of 3 or 4 politicians who've changed their position in the last couple of years on homosexual marriage. And they took the stand for a long time, but now it's rapidly going in the other direction. And yet, a person picks up the Bible, and he turns to Romans chapter 21, and he reads there what it says about that particular sin, it's a terrible thing. And so when you and I begin to realize that it's referred to in the Bible as an abomination in Leviticus chapter 18, and what's said about it in our studies in the Old Testament of Sodom and Gomorrah and other places, it's just hard to believe that people just totally ignore what the Bible says about it. Just disagree with that at all. Constantly. And it's just, what I'm saying is that it's just a constant movement. Well, that's not the only thing. That's just one of many things that's so prominent in our world today. In our religion. And in our everyday lives. And so if one would turn to Romans chapter 1 and begin reading there those verses, beginning with about verse 21 and reading down through verse 27, it would really be hard for them to claim to be what the Lord wants them to be and take the position that so many of our politicians and judges are taking. The power of God is found in the Word, the gospel of Christ. It's not in politics. It's not in legislation. It's not in the judicial system. But it's in the Word of God. And if we're ever going to have any kind of unity, instead of moving away from the Word of God, we're going to have to move toward it. One of the passages that I have read to you a number of times, and you're familiar with it, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he kind of gives them a goal to go by. He says, only let your conversation, and this and some of the other translations says life, and so you could read it this way, only let your life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, our lives are going to have to be based on the gospel. We're going to have to live according to the gospel. We want to become the gospel, to make the gospel look good because we live it. And the world can see the light that we put out and maybe want to be like us. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. So if he comes and witnesses what they're doing, or if he just hears from them, this is what he wants to hear. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, not against each other, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That would solve all of the problems of this world. And all of the problems of this nation and all of the problems of the families and individuals and all of the problems of the church. If we were intelligent enough to do it. Am I wrong? And so, I don't cover much territory. But the little bit of territory that I cover can make a difference. And that's us. We can make some difference. And that difference is sticking to the Word of God. It's reading it. It's preaching it. It's living it. And really, it's our only hope. And if just this group believes and preaches and teaches, if we're together, then we can make some difference. We won't be able to do anything with Iran. Not this little group. And I'm afraid we can't do anything with Washington. But maybe we can do something with Limestone County, at least this portion of it, and make it a better place for us to live and for our children to grow up, and give more people a better hope of going to heaven when they die. And so it's a great thing to go out to help others, but it has to start here. And it'd be a wonderful thing if the Apostle Paul could hear of us and be able to truthfully say that we stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not pulling in different directions. Not canceling out each other. Not coming up fruitless, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. This morning, if you're not a faithful Christian, one who's diligently involved in doing that, we encourage you to make some changes. Because you're intelligent enough to stop and to think like the prodigal son. And to become someone who's really worth something to God and of the world. You can do that. It has to come from within. And Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father that we might be as one, so the world might believe that he came from God. What the world is seeing now causes them to question Christ. And they look at this country and this county and they say, is that what God wanted? If that's what it is, I don't know if I want to be a part of it. If you're not a Christian, if you've heard the word and believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of those sins. If you're a erring child of God, by repentance and prayer, you can be restored, as the case of Simon the Sorcerer. We can assist you in any way to become one of us. We encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.